Father, thank you for bringing us safely together this evening. We are so grateful that you have provided us and ask for what you have provided us, and we ask for your guidance and direction as we proceed in this meeting. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, time for public comment. Mr. Body is not here, so Dr. Crossfield, do we have any?
We do not have any public comment.
Okay. Then we will move on to President's report.
All right, I won't take much of your time tonight because we have a great presentation from Dr. Hale and Dr. Nielsen, but I did want to bring your attention to my report that this weekend, and this weekend only, is our musical theater production that we do every year. This year is the Gondoliers, so Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. So if you want to see a really good performance, please come and go and see. They're working on it since school started. Actually, people play at the end of last year, and they've been casting people, so it's going to be really fantastic. So if you know some people you'd like to introduce to the State College of Florida, this is a great opportunity to do that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, excellent. All right, then we have the mission moment, which sounds like might be more than a moment. Spring enrollment, Dr. Hale and Dr. Nielsen.
Going over some of the enrollment figures from the spring and some that cover the academic year. We look at the enrollment, some of the student performance measures that we look at, and then Brittany will be going over some next steps and some things that are happening this semester. So this chart, one we show frequently, has the headcount enrollment versus the unemployment rate. You can see that unemployment rate doesn't get a whole lot lower than that, so that's kind of flattening out. So the impact that can have on enrollment is probably reaching about the bottom. Revenue generating credit load, kind of in conjunction with that, was down just slightly in the spring from the prior spring. And this one shows SEF and some of our neighboring institutions. SEF is the green line at the bottom. You can see those are flattening out along with Florida Southwest. And then St. Pete and Hillsborough went slightly up and St. Pete went slightly down. So kind of what's going on in our area. SEF average class size this spring term was up 18.4 over 18.0 the prior term, which is a good sign. And the average credit hours per term, this is an annual number, so this is taken for the whole academic year. We were up to 9.7. A lot of the things that go into that scheduling, data things where students can take them in conjunction with each other and looking carefully at how that all plays together. And you'll see that's a 5-year high as well, so it continues to rise. Persistence and retention. When we look at this one, fall 22 is the beginning term. So it shows how they persisted into the spring term. Didn't have all the data when we get this together for how it all went through this term with the late start parts of the term. And you'll see that last number for retention when we do the presentation in the spring. But that is, again, also up.
So that means that 50% of the kids quit coming?
Between fall and fall. Usually somewhere in that neighborhood. So they begin in one fall and then they are not in attendance by the next fall, which is kind of about, you know, if you take 75%, about a quarter of them spend about one semester and then don't come back in the spring. And that's, these numbers are actually better than national averages for schools like ours.
Mm-hmm. That might not be a bad line to have.
Course completions per attempt this spring were also up. That will feed into that number for persistence and retention. When students fail a course, it's more likely that they don't return if they're not successful. So that number's up. I think these something we want to look at and continue to improve if possible. And then race ethnicity by year. So we can see Hispanic population continues to increase over time. It's probably the only piece necessarily of note. Both Hispanic and black populations are considerably higher than the percentage in the local demographic according to the census. So it's also an interesting thing to note. Hmm. Any questions at all? That was pretty simple.
I don't need a microphone, apparently. All right, so a couple of the topic areas that I'm going to cover, this is reflective of our incoming class, our fall semester, 2023. So it's broken into two. The first one we're going to start with is FTIC, first time in college. So all of this is reflective of our first time in college. The really great thing that I am excited to share is from fall 2022. You will see an increase in our load hours. Yes, this is what we've been working really, really hard on, as well as our head count. So this could be pretty similar, just as dependent on how many credits the student is enrolling in for that semester. You can see the breakdown male, female. Of course, our top counties, Manatee, Sarasota, Charlotte is always the next one in line, and then I did include just fun facts, some of the other states that they're coming from.
Brittany, is that sports really?
Some of them. Otherwise, it could be a move. It could be something else that brought them here, but most of them tend to be tied to athletics in some capacity. Another fun fact is our top 10 high schools. One of the things of note is Northport and Venice, and our most impacted population last year, especially with a hurricane coming through. But it's great to see. Our number one last year was 113 students. Take a look at the top few numbers. We're seeing bigger numbers come through from those school districts. So just some of the fun facts. When we have our school counselor breakfast, our guidance counselor breakfast, we put our top schools, and it's a competition between the counselors. So I like to share this year over year with all of you.
I think it's Manatee and Palmetto fall off for those is quite substantial.
Yes.
Any general reason why?
Nothing specific with it. We've had just as much engagement, if not more, with them. So just depending on where they decided to go. But overall, the numbers are higher.
Yes.
Great question. If I do have something like that, I'll be sure to bring that in to just show the drop.
Okay.
So this is, again, just reflective of first time in college for race. You can see the percentage white, as Dr. Hale was speaking to, our Hispanic population. If we look at last year, it's pretty similar. Last year's incoming class was 32%, so we're seeing pretty close to where we were from last year, fall 22, into this year. Our black population remained exactly the same as last year, and we had a increase in white population from 47 to 51. Again, it's just first time in college.
Do we understand why the Hispanic population and black population are so overrepresented, for lack of a better term? Why we get so many of them, much more than their demographics, and is any part of this, since you're comparing it to the census, an undercount from the census?
I would suggest that part of it is because we are an open access institution. With a high school diploma or a GED, you can come to the State College of Florida. So many other options are not available to students, particularly who are from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. So I think that's why we see a bit of a difference there. I'm going to steal from Ryan Hale. I think part of why we're seeing some of that is the great outreach we have done over the last decade plus in our collegiate schools, reaching out to underserved populations as an opportunity for them to realize the possibility that they can go to college. And we still actively reach out to those underserved populations.
Mm-hmm.
would say too, last year we had an emphasis on it. We had our SBF Expo that we did and partnerships. Dr. P and I went to the UNITAS Now graduation, and almost the majority of their graduates were coming here. So I think that partnership too, in talking about it and having those communities share the message on our behalf, has been impactful.
Yeah, because the Hispanic one, I think it might have went 1 year chart, went from like 18% to 28%, something from 2016 to now, which is a huge percentage increase.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how much of that was because we've been focusing on that. That's a success point.
It is. And then age group, I've included this in every report just to break down. Again, the majority of our first-timing college students are 17 to 21, but we do have others that are joining us as well. And then this is overall. So moving from FTIC, this is inclusive of everyone. And again, our load hour is 84,219 compared to 83,000 last year. This is good. This is when we're seeing the increase in enrollment. Another important component, our male-female, we're still 63% female, 37% male. Breakdown, of course, of our degree types and where we are seeing our students go into for degree completion. And then, of course, our counties, again, Charlotte County is the third in line, but most are Manatee and Sarasota. So for the overall population and a breakdown, our white percentage 55, this did go down a percentage point from last year when we reported. We did have an increase in Hispanic from 25% to 26% from year to year. And then with our black population, again, overall, we're at 9%. Last year, that was at 8%. So overall, we're seeing some good enrollment trends. Overall age group. This is important too, because one of the things we did, I mentioned it, I can't remember if it was last board meeting or prior to, we did hire a recruiter that is special populations, focusing on not only middle school students, but also the adult population, the non-high school traditional students. So hopefully we will see some shift in our age groups as well with that type of impact. The other important piece is with working on middle school students, we're working through the middle school students to reach mom and dad. Those are our non-traditional students. So hopefully we will see some movement on those recruitment efforts. Our veteran population, I wanted to share the information. It's broken down by spring, summer, and fall, and then I did include last year's numbers. When speaking with Patrick and Christopher, our veterans advisors, you can see a dip in our veterans. A lot of them are moved into deployment, or they're working, or they're going back. So we have seen a decline in our veterans, but I will tell you they are some of the most active students on our campus. And so wanted to just share that with the board. Really important piece that we are talking about is our usage in tutoring. So tutoring and academic success center, what we call the TASC. Some really important data points. We have 34 full-time and part-time staff. Most of them are part-time, and we also have a number of students that tutor. We provided over 6,360 tutoring sessions. Over 1,184 different students were served in tutoring, and over 750,000 minutes of tutoring support took place between August 2022 to 2023. This is important information because we spoke about our SABR dollars, our student fees. Our student fees go to support this as well. So I think this is a really important piece with at least 1,184 students utilizing it.
Dr. Nielsen,
is
that, who's providing the tutoring? Is it only staff?
We have professional staff that do it. We also have student employees that are either recruited in by their faculty members or through the tutoring center to be top-notch students that help to provide peer-to-peer tutoring.
Okay.
All right, the Get Hired series. This was a series we started about 2 years ago. It goes in the fall and spring. This is really around career readiness. This is talking about how to get prepared to be in the workforce. So this is our fall series under Discovery Branding and Mentoring. We had a panel. Our panel included the Director of Inspiration at Little Medical School in Bradenton, who is also an alum. It included Jeff Phillips, who's part of the foundation board. Jeff came in, Chief Financial and Operation Officer. And then we had the Director for Engineering and Business Development at APG Engineering. So they came in and they spoke about just getting prepared, how to brand yourself, what businesses are looking for during interview processes, kind of their journey. And then we had the Cross College Alliance that was held at New College. It was all of our institutions coming together. They talked about resume building. They went through interview processing. And they had one other component, headshot opportunities. So they were able to get professional headshot. Again, talking about social media, LinkedIn, other components throughout the area. And then we're wrapping up in Venice with our career fair. A couple of the vendors that we already have secured is Circle K Stores, Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranch, Mid-Florida Credit Union, Sarasota County, and Sarasota County School District. So more will be at that fair. But again, the question usually comes in, are we just at Bradenton? No, we are trying to get these across both Manatee and Sarasota. So we'll have another spring track that'll come next semester. The other great thing is our faculty members will put this, there's a handful of them that actually put this in their syllabi to say these are great ways to go out and get some free resources and services. So a great connection. Really, really proud of this one. These are all our current tours scheduled. These are all schools or nonprofit entities. And indicating on the right-hand side the number of students that are coming. They're bringing them here, they're busing them here, and they are taking a field trip to FCS. The majority of them are here at the Bradenton campus, but we're trying to expand this out across our campuses. But all the way through January 30th, we have over 590 students coming here. That is powerful. I spoke to the first one up here. I was able to meet with them on October 20th in the Studio of Performing Arts. I had a stage, I had a microphone, it was great. But it was all the seniors, and they were coming in. We had Maverick there, they were taking selfies. They met with a couple of our faculty members. They learned about financial literacy, what it means to go to college. And really the most important message I shared with them is some of you may not be looking to come here next semester, that you may find out that this is ultimately the right fit for you in some capacity of your life. So please be a part of this experience. And it was fantastic. So I had to share that with you because this is better than us getting into the high schools. These are the high school students coming here. So really, really great stuff. Don't forget, we have graduation. Just wanted to share some numbers. Our grad walk, that's the non-traditional ceremony that takes place in the Studio of Performing Arts. That has over 100 students participating in it. So they will go through the spa with their families. Last time, those of you who were here, families. They had matching t-shirts. They had 16-plus babies, grandmas, wheelchairs. We had it all go through and a lot of energy. We will have a DJ and music playing. We'll have a photo booth. It's going to be a ton of fun. And then in the evening, we have our traditional ceremonies with Associate of Arts and Bachelor's degrees at 4:30. And then at 7 o'clock is our Associate of Science degrees. So the numbers are pretty comparable to what we saw last December here on campus. So. Any questions? Trustee Moore.
I think I've asked this question before, but refresh my memory. A few slides ago, you talked about the number of students that come in from Manatee, Bayshore, whatnot. This community has seen a huge increase in Christian private schools and charter schools and Montessori schools and all kinds of stuff. Are there any facts? Do we have any numbers on those demographics?
Those students that come here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can get that.
I was just curious because they weren't, like, for
they're
example,
they're not in
no,
the top 10.
There's no visits there. There's no. Yeah, I figured that, but. Still count. I mean, if you put them in a big bundle, it might equal to something.
So we do outreach to all of them. So we will still do our recruitment efforts out These are ones that have indicated either funding to be transported in or field trips, but
no, just
we are
curious,
wide
when
open.
I went to Brandon Christian School back in 1980-something, I remember SEF came, or we had our, what do you call them, guiding counselors, would mm-hmm. always bring in an SEF representative, Manatee at the time, and
yep.
you know, a lot of my classmates in '88 came to Manatee, and
yep.
I just didn't know if you see that kind of full. I'm just curious, out of those populations, are we getting those students or a percentage of those students?
I can run the numbers on that.
I'm just
so
curious.
That top 10 list continues all the way down. I can see where they fall in that list.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
You got
yeah.
it.
Well, I can attest to Brady Christian for sure because
I know.
I've got one there now, but I see SCF well represented.
Good.
A lot.
You know, maybe not the St. Stephen's Preparatory School, stuff like that, but.
Brady Christian.
Mark?
Carol, you've been here 20 some odd years. Does this 8,000-ish number of total students or active students, is that about that same all the time? Has it been that way? Were we a lot lower, now we're higher, vice versa?
It's been sort of an up and a down. It follows the economy quite often. It's only recently that it seems to have deviated a bit post-COVID. And became a little bit harder to predict. But if you go back, I think Ryan, if he did that chart and he went back 25 years, he'd see the same up and down following the economy,
gotcha.
Which is one of the reasons why strategically we said we wanted to diversify our revenue sources and really build up our non-credit side, personal and professional development, that sort of thing, because that tends to go the other way. Corporations have more money to spend on employee development when the economy is good. We have fewer students who come to school when the economy is good because they're working. It's a nice balance. So we've been working really hard to create that balance so we're not as vulnerable to the changes in the economy.
Well, you talk about the dark ages. When I went to high school here, there were only three high schools in Manatee County. Now I think there's 12, something like that. Not a lot of them private sort of thing. And yet, the enrollment's about the same. When I went to school way back when, and now it hasn't changed a whole lot.
I'm not sure. We'd have to go back and look. I'm not sure our enrollment was 8,000.
I guess, but in general, if somebody asked me what is the greatest challenge we have, I personally would say, by just looking over the data, is getting people in chairs.
Well, and I think
enrollment.
Part of it is the national language about you don't need to go to college, which is why our entire scholarship luncheon tomorrow is about the value of a higher education. We see fewer and fewer people opting to go to college. So when we look at, and I think Ryan presented this when we did our strategic plan a while back, we're getting the vast majority of the students from our region who are choosing to go to college are choosing to come here, but a greater number are choosing not to go to college. And that's our biggest challenge, is trying to get out there. Why we're going into the middle schools and doing all that is to show young people that college is still a good option for them.
And the middle, if you see Booker Middle, Brookside Middle, Oasis Middle, Sarasota Middle, they're all getting here. So hopefully that will have a stronger impact of long-term messaging, not just when you're a junior and senior in high school.
So do we message ourselves different from the university system, though, right? Because a lot of times people, when you say, you know, that not go to college, which is a fairly recent phenomenon that has happened. But that's usually looking at universities, wokeness, these sorts of things, the value of it, etc. That's not us.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that we ought to be able to really separate ourselves in that conversation. I mean, it's hard because you have the pool of information out there, and we dive in and try and create the message for ourselves. But it's really a different message than even the University of Florida or Florida State or something. Unless you're just looking for the first 2 years here and then transfer, in which case then it's just a smart money one.
Right.
But if it's other than that, then it's not really what a lot of parents, I think, in the debate is talking about when it comes to colleges. It's more like the university systems.
What are we seeing the biggest takeaway after graduation? I'm just curious, because I know we have a career resource center, right, that works with students. provide, whether it's internships or jobs after. Do we have any data on those students that leave with a degree that get a job in the real world? Do we know any of that stuff? Because to me, that would be the biggest reason why I'd go to college, is to find a job.
So those students who graduate with an AS degree, which is designed to go to the workforce, James, for helping. Remember these numbers, Jamie. I think I want to say it's between those who get a job and those who go on to continue their education, it's like 95-96%. So if they're coming here to get what they need to get a job, we're going to want a job.
That's awesome.
And then our AA students mostly focus on transfer to finish a baccalaureate degree, or we try to keep them here for a baccalaureate degree.
So going back to Mark's comment about butts in the seats, right?
Mm-hmm.
So results matter. So if 95% of our students are graduating with a job, that's the message.
Yep. And they hear that message as well as our pass rates on licensure exams.
I put that on a billboard somewhere on the interstate.
Well, another major thing back when I was in school, if you got a diploma from here in college, University of Florida, they had to take you.
Yeah, same thing.
Well, that was a big deal. So everybody, you know, we flocked here to get so that they'd have to take us, because you know, the pluck out courses at Florida were just horrendous.
It still exists, except you don't necessarily get to go to the university of your choice.
Oh, really?
The University of Florida will take you with an AA or an MBA degree from Florida Community College or State College. But you may want to go to UF for engineering, and that may not work, but you can get into Northwest Florida.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. But that was a big deal back then.
Was, yeah, me too.
And that's what we strive for with our students. My fun analogy, I think I've shared it, is instead of taking a bag of groceries for a cake, take the cake, and that's your degree. It's a lot easier for a university to accept an AA than to go through 67 credits and figure out where they fit.
No, it's a big deal. I know universities give, like, my son who graduated from here went to Samford University, and they gave him a $10,000 AA grant, or whatever mm-hmm. it was, for graduating with an AA degree, and that was out of state, so it still exists.
Absolutely. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Nielsen. Dr. Hale. Moving on to approval of the non-financial consent agenda. Any items that need to be pulled?
CF and I, please.
CF and I. Anybody else? If not, I'll entertain a motion of approval.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Exhibit C, Mark.
Page 21. I was wondering, if we have dropped at least three nursing classes. Is there a rhyme or reason for dropping those classes? Participation or?
No, they're usually realizing those outcomes elsewhere, right? So they're changing the curriculum to align with the frameworks of the degree. So it's just a revision, not that we're not doing those things, they're just being done differently.
Oh, I see. So they're moving whatever they were doing in that class to a different class type of thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And I couldn't pronounce three out of four of them. That
That's why I didn't try to say it. I just saw nursing and kept up. All right, so they're still getting the same education. They're just moving around.
I know the definition.
Page 31, and this is accolades, I guess. This is the school-wide improvement plan, SIP they call it, I guess. And I tried to go through this, and obviously I didn't understand a lot, but page 31, if I can read this properly, our school is kicking butt. Is that correct? I mean, it's unbelievable. These numbers are unbelievable for our this is collegiate school, by the way. I have to commend us. I mean, this is fantastic stuff here. These numbers that we should advertise.
We're very proud of our collegiate school. Well, we do, but we also have wait lists for our collegiate school.
Yeah, so lottery, and we get way more applicants than we can serve.
Well, there you go. Yeah. What are you gonna do, right? Okay. On 54, Ryan was going to do this anyway, but page 54, I have to commend, I mean, these GPAs of our athletes, it's phenomenal. And I just wanted to bring that up and say it out loud. That makes me very proud of these kids. I mean, this is fantastic. Look at that softball. I mean, almost every kid on the team is 3-7, 4-0, 3-3, 3-4, 4-4. I mean, these are true academic athletes, academic awarding athletes. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. That's fantastic. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Do we need to approve these one at a time, or can we do them as a batch? Okay.
I move to the consent for Exhibit C, F, and I.
For a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We move on to number 7, approval of financial consent agenda items. Any that need to be removed?
Exhibit J, please.
Okay.
I'll be quick, I promise.
It's fine.
K through R.
Any others?
Move approval on K through R.
Is there a second?
Second.
The motion is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Mark.
Page 79, second paragraph. Other student fee revenues increased by 33% over other student fees reported through July of last year. This increase is due to increased tuition for continuing workforce educational courses. So my first thought is, great job of diversifying our income. Fantastic. I think this is what we need to do to be competitive. I want to point that out. It's great. These are significant dollars. And the second thing is, how can we do more of it?
I said the same thing.
I mean, this is cool stuff. So, I mean, are we looking into this? Are you looking into this?
We are.
How to do that more often?
We are.
This is getting people ready to go right straight into the workforce, correct? I mean, that's what we're talking about, teach them specific skills.
Yep, either going directly into the workforce or reskilling and upskilling. So people who have a degree that need to stay current, so like the Coding Academy, coming in and learning the latest language, sitting through industry certifications as those certifications change.
Now that would be like Tropicana sending over a bunch of computer folks to get some degrees or some advancements.
Yes.
Yep. Is that correct?
Yep.
And then Nate Tropicana would write us a check and we put 3 or 4 kids through whatever. Is that correct? Adults, I guess, probably more.
Adults,
Now, on these things, do they have to take any regular classes, or we only do the specific whatever it is?
Well, typically, when you talk about the workforce development like you described, we're creating a program for them. So they're not going through our regular AA curriculum, so the general rule they're doing specific to them.
So they don't get a diploma, they get a certificate that they accomplished something. Is that correct?
Correct. Or an industry certification if they sit for the exam and it applies.
Great. Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept Exhibit J.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sorry, a quick question. Dr. Frisch, help remind me, how do you all, when we start talking about some of this workforce training, I'm thinking, well, we've got a technical school in Manatee County. How do you guys stay in your own lane and not...
And in Sarasota.
And so, right, exactly.
Very close collaboration. So we have annual articulation agreements with all the technical colleges where we assess their curriculum and figure out how much of what they do can articulate into a certificate or degree program that we offer. When it comes to skills-based training, we, just like the universities want us to stay in our lane, the technical colleges need to stay in their lane, and so we try to figure out how we can leverage what they're doing and build from that, or if they don't have the capacity to do something. For example, CDL training would have typically been a technical college activity, but they didn't have the capacity to do what we creatively did, and so we got into that game after they had right of first refusal. Other examples, evening and weekend nursing activities, taking CNAs and doing something in the evening. We offered them the opportunity because the industry said there was a demand, and they said we worked 8 to 3:30. So we jumped into the evening weekend option. So I sit on both of their boards, so we stay closely coordinated, so we don't overlap.
That's great.
great. Thank you.
I'll bring this up again, and I'm sure there's no way we can probably do this, but I'm an electrician. I used to be an electrician. I'm an electrician. There's a huge need for electricians, plumbers, air conditioning people, that sort of thing. And I know they go to the Boat Tech, and I sponsored that, taught at it, pumped money into it, trying to get kids out of there to go to work. Quite frankly, they don't do a very good job. And so our on-job training was so much better, it was a waste of funds, I just quit doing it. Bottom stuff, I mean, I won't go into it. But anyway, we did a lot. We have to think about a two-year actual college degree that the kids would have to take, you know, your basic English and math and all that kind of stuff, but an electrical course to learn how to be an electrician, or a plumbing course, or an air conditioning course, whatever the case may be. So when they graduate after 2 years, not only did they get an education of what they want to do, but they actually have a college-level degree. I don't know if there's a market for that. I could be completely wrong, because these kids typically are not college-bound folks, you know. They came right out of Palmer High School, walked down the street to my office, and that's how I hired 90% of my guys over the years and trained them myself. But I just always thought that would be intriguing, that they've got a degree in college, taking on what they wanted to do as a mechanic of some sort. Anyway, food for thought. I know it's an open-ended question, but you bet beat around for hours. But anyway, there's a huge need, I know that. And the Boat Tech simply is not, well, I haven't been in for a long time, but when I was heavily involved, simply was not getting the job done, period, end of story.
We do have degree programs that we try to plug into those. This is where things like project management or entrepreneurship or small business development comes out of our 26 West Center, and we target those students with those kinds of activities. But, you know, construction's a great example. Chris teaches in the program. We have construction management for those coming out of the skilled trades areas who want to then find the right kind of degree, and we continue to look more and more often. We're exploring supply chain and logistics right now to plug right into our CDL program. We're working with another organization, MTC, that has diesel repair, but their diesel repair technicians don't have a CDL license, so they can't drive the truck that they just repaired. So we're working to collaborate with them so that we can get them in and get them trained and make that part of their curriculum, and we'll count them as continuing education students. So we're continuing down that path.
I can expound on it just a second. Goodson Electric hired kids right out of high school. Over the years, of course, I was in business for 50-some-odd years, 12 of those became my competitors. They left me, passed their test, and went into business. But most, 90% of them, never got past the 2 or 3 men, because you have to have some sort of business mind. You know, it could be an electrician, but then when you take it further and hire people, you've got to have some sort of business. You've got to be able to, you know, read a financial sheet, et cetera, et cetera. And they simply could not achieve that. You know, they did everything on a notebook and hoped. They would come for me for counseling, and I would help them. But, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is there's more to being in business, but the kid started as an electrician, you know, and then he got to a point where he could pass the test, and all of a sudden we could fill that gap. But
so
I don't know if there's enough.
Not to belabor that, but my son has a plumbing company, and he's got 4 plumbers and 2 assistants, 5 trucks on the road. Biggest problem, period, bar none, not even close, is he can't find plumbers. Okay. And then if he does, he can't keep them. I mean, he's hired people from New York, can't keep them. And, you know, it's really impossible. He did the 4-year thing to have a master of plumber's license, so he can pull all the stuff, right? But he's had several guys that he got. They started their own. Mm-hmm. They failed, and they came back. And he struggled. I mean, I was able to help him a lot, and I plugged him into a friend of mine who helps small businesses. And so he's been able to kind of get over that hurdle you're talking about. That's clearly a big problem, though. You probably have a lot more plumbing companies, which then maybe would mean more plumbers. You still have to have the right number of plumbers and people interested in it. And that becomes a bit of a messaging problem in the broader culture that plumbers and electricians are looked down on.
I would say as our community, is probably in the realm of finance and business, the number one problem. You cannot find enough employees to actually get the jobs done.
Okay.
And we, you know, Friday we're going to go in and interview contractors for Parrish, right? Every one of them is going to, one of their things they're going to say in the first 2 minutes is, provided we can find enough electricians to bid the job, or plumbers to bid the job, et cetera. That is going to always be a caveat they have to introduce because they're having difficulties. It's one thing to be a general contractor. It's another thing to be a subcontractor. And there's a huge need in this community. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we can fulfill it. I mean, we're just talking in circles and I don't want to, but it certainly would be something that we could find a way to tap into that somehow because it's huge need. Huge.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. Okay, Chris?
Sorry, Chris.
No, we got third.
It's a good conversation, Mark. It's a good conversation.
Real quick, so I've got just a couple items. One is the annual contractor pre-qualification approval, and then we've got a couple miscellaneous capital projects. So per SRAF, we annually put out an RFQ, we advertise it, and we pre-qualify our general contractors for projects between $50,000 and $1 million. We got one new one, NDC at the bottom there for this year. And then we got 12 that just re-qualify. So we look at their insurance, their bonding capacity, manure license. So I'm looking for board approval of the 12 to re-qualify them, and then the new qualification for NDC.
Can that be all one motion?
Sure.
Yes. Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Whatever he said.
Is there discussion?
Yes.
Yes.
So, Chris, this is just for the $50,000 to a million. Doesn't include construction management, so that's not changing at this point.
Separate.
Any other discussion?
Yes, Chris, question. Remind me of this list, so you have a smaller job that needs to be done. Are you picking one? Are you, based off of your experience, are you having them all bid? How do you do that?
So before we had CM, regardless of what's 50 to a million, we put a bid packet together, advertise it, and if the public seal opening, whoever was the apparent low would be selected. But of all this, well, other than the Les line, and no others would even bid. So we'd be lucky to get two bids in, just know we would hard bid. One other one fell off the list there. So if it wasn't a requirement for SRAF, I wouldn't be going through this exercise right now.
Understood.
Okay.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Next.
Is there any capital project that's got a budget of $150,000 or more required for approval? So we've got two here. One is the Bradenton Collegiate School Guidance Remediation Suite. It's got a $408,000 budget. It's going to be funded through the Collegiate PICO money. There's adequate funding there. We proposed the UCM at the delivery, and we're creating privacy rooms for student guidance and remediation. And then the second project is the building 14 student union floor replacement, $200,000 budget. We're using CIF funds. There is adequate balance for that. We're proposing the UCM for that, and the flooring is 20 years old, so it's in its useful life. So looking for board approval for those two projects.
Is that motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes.
Hold on, don't leave. Can you give us an update on Venice at the science building?
Yeah, doing really well. Kind of coming to the end here. At the end of November, we will have landscaping and furniture to go in. Just reached out to faculty members the month of December to go ahead and get moved in. And it'll be ready for student occupancy the first of the year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's coming together.
remove the line that said source, which essentially had the vice president's name or title in there, to be consistent with other educational institutions like ours, and then to create or eliminate the probability of having to keep bringing back every time we have a change in title. We'd like the board to approve these before you, as well as the source line from all of the colleges and published readers.
All right. Is there a motion to approve these rule changes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes.
Oops. All right. Let's go back and do that again. Do we have any public comment relative to this rule? Seeing no public comment.
All right.
We now will take a vote again.
I think we probably should take a vote again, right? Have public comment first, then take a vote. So, there's no public comment, so, Mark?
So moved again.
Second. All in favor?
Aye again.
Aye.
All right.
See what happens
with
Steve on?
Yeah. But Susan gave me the eye down there, and that's the only reason I saw it.
She's good for that.
Yeah, she is. And I know what the eye looks like. Okay. Goals. Number 11, Dr. Probstfeld had, you all have a copy of it. She reached all of her goals except one, which came up a little short in the credit hours for dual enrollment, and I believe she'd be happy to answer any questions any trustees may have. So if I had a chance to look it over sufficiently.
I have no questions. My only comment is that given that all the changes that happened over the last couple years with dual enrollment credits, that was I know it continues to be a tougher sell. So although you missed it, you only missed it by a little bit. So I have to commend the team for doing what they did there, because it was not, I know it's not easy.
I think, we got the students. We just didn't get them to take as many credit hours as we had hoped.
Okay, we need to approve this. So is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
There's a second. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that moves us to old business. Does anybody have old business for the board? Seeing none. Anybody have new business for the board? I see we don't have on here trustee comments. I'm just going to insert it right here. We'll go around the table real quick if anybody has a comment, starting with Mark.
I have nothing to say except on Friday from 8:30 to 4 p.m. I'll be in this room interviewing architects and engineers, Chris and the gang.
God bless you.
Anybody that would like to come and spend that day with us, we'd love to have you. Support your local trustee.
I'm busy.
That's all.
Thank you, Jamie.
I have no comment.
Quick word from the foundation. Tomorrow is our annual scholarship luncheon, and looking forward to that. 275 plus attending, and we are $25,000 over our $65,000 goal. Very, very good job, Sandra. So save the, and by the way, thank you, Jamie, because you were one of the sponsors for that. Thank you very much. Taylor's not here, but she is also an underwriter of some student tickets, so we need to thank her for that. Save the dates, Avenue to the Future, which is Bourbon, Brews, and Barbecue, February 17th.
Very collegiate.
Hey, sometimes you gotta change it up. And evening under—that's obviously on this campus—and then evening under the stars down in Venice is Saturday, April 6th. Theme: The British Are Coming. So make sure you get your tickets for that. That should be another, as always, both of the fun.
It seems like we just did that again.
I know.
Doesn't it?
Comes around
every year.
It seems like we just were at the groundbreaking.
Actually, you're right.
Right.
You have some news, right? From athletics?
Yes. We went through the search process, and we have made an offer. It was accepted for our next athletic director, Nick Cicello. He's been our interim for a while.
Good guy.
He went through a very competitive process. We had a lot of really interesting people apply, and I think he's going to be great. He's young, energetic, he's got great ideas, and now we're off to the races. We're working with Trustee Moore on our Hall of Fame. He's been very generous to offer to financially support our Hall of Fame this year, so we can sort of re-hone our vision with our new athletic director and our new approach to fundraising, sponsorship, scholarships, et cetera, for athletics. So thank you.
No, it's all good.
That's great.
Did he author, by the way, the report?
He did.
Okay.
Just one comment, I made a mistake. It's not 96%, it's 97%. Remain employed or continue their
education. Oh, okay, comment.
We'll update our marketing.
Yeah, let the minutes reflect that. All right. Meeting adjourned.
Trick or treat.
Good meeting.